Joining us now, Canucks play-by-play man, Brendan Batchelor. He's a presentation of Wren and Raven. It's true. Wren and Raven has already changed Mission forever. Come see for yourself. This was going to be the year that the Blue Jays beat the Red Sox, beat your Red Sox in the standings, Batch. But
well, that's a great joke to start off with. Well done. Like, that's hilarious. Good work.
Have you been to an opening day before? Whether Seattle, maybe you visited Fenway?
No, I haven't. I haven't been to an opening day, but
yeah, you're always working play-by-play in hockey style.
Yeah, exactly. So this would have been the year in theory, but of course there's no baseball and there's no hockey right now. So no, I haven't had a chance to get to a major league opening day, but it is one of those days that you're right. It's always circled on the calendar, and you know, as Randy was saying just a second ago, it's the excitement of a new season and you really pay attention to it, and then maybe things drift off for a few months because, of course, at this time of the year we're normally getting ramped up for the Stanley Cup playoffs, and so, you know, opening day is an important day, and then, you know, within a week or two the Stanley Cup playoffs start, and we're thinking about that a little bit more than early season baseball.
I was talking yesterday with a couple people, just like favorite ballparks. You've been to Fenway. What's great about it? I mean, everybody says it's the world's nicest toilet sometimes, which because it's so old, but that's a little bit of the charm to it, I guess, too. What's it like at Fenway?
Well, so I've been to Fenway, but I've never actually been in Boston when the Red Sox have been at home. So I've done the stadium tour.
Okay.
But I haven't actually been to a Red Sox home game, and that is high on the list. In fact, it might have been something that I was looking to tick off the bucket list this summer, which probably won't happen now with present events. But you know, you go in there and you immediately, it's one of those buildings or stadiums where you feel the history, and it feels like an old ballpark. You're right, but you know, in many ways, that's a good thing, where you can think about all the great moments and historical games and plays that have happened in a stadium like that. And then it's unique, of course, because of the Green Monster. What I would compare it to, actually, is, you know, going in for the stadium tour at Fenway Park, I had a lot of the same feelings that you have going into, say, something like the Pacific Coliseum, where you know, you can feel the history, and because it's an older building, it's not as, you know, cookie cutter as some of the present buildings that you see around the NHL, and you just get a feel that, you know, this is a place that has had a lot of big moments happen in it, and that's sort of the feeling I got for Fenway, and I would imagine it's even that much more magnified when you're there for a game.
Well, that's plenty of time for all of us to now add to our bucket list, because we're not doing much of anything else. But right now, I think the craze when it comes to Vancouver Canucks Twitter is your play-by-play calls right now of random things. I got to say, Batch, I know others were doing it, but you're doing a hell of a job on these.
Yeah, well, I'd seen there was one guy out of Britain that was, you know, he's going out for walks and doing play-by-play of the things that he saw, and you know, that was pretty funny and sort of got my the wheels turning. And I thought, well, why not let people send me their, you know, whatever videos of whatever they're doing around the house right now, or their pets or their kids. And, you know, it gives me something to do, because, you know, for a lot of us, we're just sitting around trying to pass the time right now. So yeah, I'm going to do, you know, probably three of those videos a day here for the next little bit anyway. I was amazed at the response, because I put the tweet out and I'm like within a couple hours had 40 or 50 videos that have been sent to me. So working through trying to find some good ones and, you know, if at all possible, provide a little bit of levity and some laughs for people during a time that is certainly difficult for a lot of us.
Personally enjoyed the fight with the cat and the fist.
Yes. Yeah, that was one. Immediately, as soon as I saw it, I was like, okay, I can have some fun with this one. I know what I can do there.
Find them at Batch Hockey is where you can get some of these great videos up right now on Twitter. So we're reflecting on the Canucks season a little bit, and we were talking about Travis Green and his appearance on the program yesterday. How do you assess Travis Green and the job that he did with this Canucks team this year?
Well, the fact that they were in a playoff race means that, in my mind, obviously it wasn't job done, but he had put them in the position, or he had played a part in putting them in the position that they wanted to be at the start of the year, where they were a playoff contender into the month of March. And, you know, they had an opportunity there in front of them to make the playoffs. Now, whether they would have done it or not is going to be the eternal debate that we'll never know the answer to because of what's happened with Jacob Markstrom being out due to injury. But I thought we saw a different Travis Green this year, you know, because over the past couple of years, he's had a team that hadn't been successful. And we had seen him, you know, particularly with his lines, making lots of adjustments in game to try and get the best out of his group. And that continued this year, but there was a pretty good stretch that really, I think I'd have to look back at my notes, but I would expect that it started around that 7-game winning streak after Christmas, where for the most part, he kept his lines intact for a really long run of play. And part of that was some of the injuries they had. And you know, I heard about it on Twitter every day when tweeting the lines, because Louis Erickson was on that Horvat line every single day for quite a long while. But the team had some success during that stretch. And, you know, obviously I talked to him for the Green Report before every game, and it's something that he had said to me many times, that you know, you look at some of the top teams in the league and their lines remain intact because you know what you're going to get from them on a night-to-night basis. Like, you face the Boston Bruins, you obviously know what their top line's going to look like. And it's not often that there are tweaks really on any of their lines, because they're a deep team, they're a championship contender-level team. And when you have a group that you get that level of consistency and success, then you don't have to tweak a lot. So Travis always said that, you know, I would love to be in a situation where I knew what each of my lines was going to be on a night-to-night basis. Now, he wasn't necessarily there yet this season, but with some of the additions made to this group and the way things worked out with JT Miller on that Pettersson line, which you have to give him credit for in terms of moving to that line really early in the season and not looking back, it felt like the Canucks had made a big stride in that direction. And you know, for lack of a better term, he actually had some toys to play with this season. And, you know, credit to him, credit to the coaching staff, even though they had their ups and downs throughout the season, it wasn't necessarily a straight line in terms of the level of success they had. They found a way to have themselves A, in first in the division at the All-Star break, and then B, right in the battle for a playoff spot when the season was paused.
Batcher, I'm glad you brought up the Boston Bruins there, because you're right, they have a lot of skill in their lineup, but they also have that buy-in factor that is needed when you're a winning team, when you're a contending team. The Vancouver Canucks showed some of that this year. Did they show to you that they can consistently bring that, or is that still a work in progress?
Well, I mean, over the body of work this season, they looked like a team that was going to be, you know, around the playoff bar. And certainly we could debate whether they were going to make it in or not with the injuries they faced down the stretch. But I still wouldn't call them a consistent team, because, you know, they had high highs and low lows. If you remember, they were really struggling in the month of December right before they went on that winning streak, to the point where, you know, a lot of people in the market were writing off their playoff chances right around Christmas time. But what did they do to respond to that? They rattled off 7 straight wins and put themselves right back in the conversation. And as I alluded to, we're first in the division, you know, just about a month later at the All-Star break. And you can go back even earlier in the season. They had a really good start to the year, put themselves in a good spot, and then struggled throughout the month of November and into December. So they've made strides. They're an improved team. And you talk about buy-in factor. I think that the group does buy into what Travis Green is selling. And especially when you're having success, it's much easier to buy in, because the things you're doing are leading you to win games. And, you know, that's the same for anything in life. If you're having success at something, you're more likely to continue to replicate what you're doing. But consistency still isn't a word I would use to describe them, because of the fact that it was really up and down throughout the year. And let's be honest, they put themselves in a situation where they were going to have to get on another one of those hot streaks in the last month of the season or so in order to make sure that they would make the playoffs.
Dan Riccio, Randy Bjana, joined by Brendan Batchelor, Canucks play-by-play man here on Reach Deep. Before we let you go, Batch, what's the series you've been binging in all this time of self-isolation with no hockey?
Well, we're not on a series right now. We watched The Outsider on HBO, which is based on a Stephen King book, and that was really good. If people sort of like mystery, murder mystery, that then, you know, there's a sci-fi element to it kind of as well. That was a really good series. After we finished that, we rewatched all the Lord of the Rings movies, so we've got through those. And now we're looking for something new. So actually, if either of you guys have a recommendation, I'd be willing to accept that right now for sure.
You know where I'm going with this. If you haven't seen The Wire, you haven't seen The Sopranos, those are my two. If you haven't watched any of those, I'm not going further on the list.
Yeah, I had a feeling. I had a feeling you'd go there. And you know what? I haven't watched The Wire. It's been on my list for a long time, so maybe that's the time to break it out right now.
No better time than now to do that. Batch, appreciate the time. We'll keep watching for those videos.
Yep. Thanks, boys. Be well.
There he is, Brendan Batchelor, a presentation of Ren and Raven here on Sportsnet 650.